coming up on All Access.
I think we have a group of friends that are just absolutely hungry to be successful at life, no matter where we all came from.
Gives to Gillisley, lowers the shoulders. He takes a hard hit, and he may not have gotten it.
There was, like any game, there's good things, there's bad things. It wasn't all bad, but the times where we needed to be good, we weren't. That we just had to improve on and be better.
Welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this matchup.
Let's go! What's up, baby? Let's go! Let's go, boy! Let's go!
Brady out of the eye, gives to Gillisley, runs it up the middle, upended, but he spills into the end zone. Third touchdown in his Patriots debut.
That's the way you counter.
Hell yeah! Nice job,
well, as a play caller, offensively, I think he does a great job in mixing his personnel and giving the defense different looks. So, I have a ton of respect for Sean. I think he does a great job.
As far as opening nights go, this one was a clunker. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. We're a little over a week past the 42-27 loss to Kansas City, and people are eager to see which Patriots team travels to New Orleans. Will this be a bounce-back effort, or are there symptoms from last week that may linger? We're about to find out. For more on the Patriots, here's Dan Roach.
Man, this is shocking.
It was not how it was supposed to go. On a night where Super Bowl banner 5 was unfurled, the Patriots fell short against the Chiefs. And the Patriot leaders were none too pleased as they felt this loss went beyond X's and O's.
We just have to be a lot better in a lot of areas. And starting with our attitude and our competitiveness.
Just a wake-up call, especially for myself. Gotta keep on grinding, keep on working.
We gotta get a lot better if we want to win any football games this year.
The day after wasn't much better, starting with a film session that probably wasn't pleasant.
What do you think? Not fun.
Usually we have 7 days after the game, and I think just having 10, it just really put in our minds just the football that we play, and that's not the football that we want to play.
Biggest takeaway is just don't quit. Just keep going. Don't quit.
So it's on to New Orleans for this Patriots team, and that meant a week of both physical and mental adjustments.
We just have a sense of urgency and do what we have to do, doing our job individually and as a team, and just focusing on that.
Anything as far as defense that we struggle with is definitely important to get back to those fundamentals and just work harder.
As for Sunday, perhaps a battle of wills, as both teams are looking to avoid an 0-2 start.
This team, isn't going to make it easy on us. We have to go earn it, just like the last team. And when you get beat the way we got beat, I think that sat with everyone for, a very long time. We have to go do something about it.
The Patriots own a 9-4 record all time against the Saints. They're 4-1 in New Orleans, 3-1 at the Superdome. The lone loss? Last time the Pats went down there, a Monday night, a 38-17 drubbing at the hands of Drew Brees and company in 2009. From the CBS scene for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
Kickoff Thursday began as a banner day for the Patriots, who burst to an early lead over Kansas City, only to have a remarkable home-winning streak stunningly brought to a halt, as they had won their previous 87 regular season home games when being ahead at the half. They enjoy that advantage as well as a later lead thanks to 3 rushing touchdowns by newcomer Mike Gillisley, who covered a total of 5 yards en route to those scores. But Gillisley was stopped short on 4th and inches twice in Chiefs territory.
Another 4th down stop for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Big. Preventing them from increasing their first half advantage and regaining a second half edge. The Patriots were not only unbeatable in Foxborough when ahead at the break, they had been invincible while handing Tom Brady a home lead in the 4th quarter.
And the field goal is good. 27-21.
Prior to Kansas City's comeback that concluded with 21 unanswered points, the Brady-led Patriots were 105-0 when in front at home heading into the fourth quarter. While the Chiefs forged ahead for good on a 78-yard strike, one of three plays worth 50-plus yards,
all the way for a Kansas City touchdown,
the Pats' offense failed to keep pace in its own quest to strike downfield. On a related note, they ended the night without defensive captain Dante Hightower and clutch receiver Danny Amendola, who were both injured in the second half.
All right, thank you very much, Bob. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If Paparillo and Mike Reese at the top of the show, things cannot be very good.
That means ratings are probably down. You need to lift them up. I get it. We're here.
Or there was a big trade, but, or a bad performance.
I let you guys off the hook last time because I didn't ask you for a prediction. But I will say this. No one, absolutely no one saw that coming, right?
Yeah, just so you know, I got it wrong. I didn't get to do it on the air, but I was wrong. And I was really wrong because I didn't think Kansas City had the type of offense to come in here and do some of the damage that it did. You know, the big plays, really. Just a lot of breakdowns, communication issues for the Patriots on defense. Some curious coaching decisions, I thought, both on offense and defense. But, yeah, didn't see it coming.
Yeah, obviously disappointing for the team. I'm of the belief that when you win, it's never as good as it seems. When you lose, it's usually not as bad as it seems. But one thing, Steve, I did think it was going to be a tough game. Mm-hmm. And I did think they were going to win it, but I thought they would lose this week. And the reason I was thinking along those lines is I was so disappointed this offseason about all the 19-0 talk. I thought it was totally off the rails, totally unrealistic, and it's hard to win in this league. It was hard when they went 12-4. It was hard when they went 14-2. And we've lost sight of it. And I feel like that storyline that we got jammed down our throat, not from the team, but from people covering the league and the team, was totally way out of line.
Media jammer.
And not like I want to sit here and be the judgment of the media, but where is everyone now saying, well, where did we go wrong, and how did we mislead you? And that just didn't sit well with me.
All right, so the quarterback brought up two issues, attitude and competitiveness. Do you think this team sort of quit in this game down the stretch?
Listen, there's no question that last drive when they go 58 yards, then 21 yards, there wasn't a great effort there on defense. But, and I may be wrong here, and it might be hard to quantify, but I thought what Bill was talking about and later Tom was more of a mindset. I think, to Mike's point about, it's hard to win in this league, I think there's some people that may have come in, okay, we're Patriots now. We expect to win. This is what this team does. They win. And I think Bill's message throughout the spring and summer was these guys haven't done anything yet. This 2017 team hasn't even had a padded practice, hasn't accomplished anything. We haven't even played. And now here we are a week into the season. They haven't won a game yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that's sort of – I think Tom may have been trying to get – everybody on board and understanding what it takes to win in this league, and it's more about what you do during the course of the week than just showing up. And then, of course, when they had some adversity, they folded.
And when you think about the DNA of the Patriots under Bill Belichick, it's the strong fourth quarter. It's the hills, the conditioning that we heard all about last year. And what happened in the fourth quarter? Outscored 21-0. I mean, you look at a running play and you see Patriots defenders on the ground and you're saying to yourself, wow, is that effort? The effort that needs to be there, very uncharacteristic for this team.
Interesting. So they folded. You said they folded. You said what?
It's disappointing. Fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, I mean 21-0. I don't know how you can look at the last 5 or 6 minutes and come away feeling really good about anything the Patriots
did. Very uncharacteristic,
right,
Steve.
We got more you guys coming up later on the show. I'm saying they're going to bounce back. That's what I'm saying. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this. Stay with us.
Coming up on All Access.
The Patriots are denied.
Not good.
Listen in as the Patriots coaches try to adapt in their game against the Chiefs.
Don't worry about that, okay? There's a hell of a lot of football left to be played.
And later, we introduce you to one of the newest members of the Patriots, wide receiver Brandon Cooks.
The team, to me, is putting everyone else before yourself.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access presented by Geico. We all know the final score, but let's take a look back at the sights and sounds from the Kansas City game.
Welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this matchup. Quick hitter to Amendola, left sideline 20. Rise up for
the revolution. Nice job by your quarterback in his 18th year. He's got him on the move right now.
Hand off to Gillespie. Up the middle. Touchdown.
Sign number 35 for these type of moments.
Wake up, wake up. That's it, wake up.
Ball's loose and the Patriots have it. Gillespie, fourth and inches. Patriots are denied.
Not good.
Don't worry about that, okay? There's a hell of a lot of football left to be played. I like what we're doing, and I like how we're going about it. Keep going, huh? Keep going. Stay away.
Now third and goal to go. He throws underneath into the end zone. Touchdown, Harris.
That's a 12-play, 90-yard drive to tie this score up.
Stop the run on first down and keep him out of that second and short waist down deal.
I've got to do a better job on the run.
Brady with a give to Gillis. He motors past the 30. He dives to the goal line and beyond.
That's what you had to do, okay? That's how we have to play. That's well done.
Ball down the right side for a wide open Tyreek Hill. Goodbye.
What's going to get us back in this is not the big deals. It's going to be stopping the early downs.
Got to go out there and hold the ball. We got to get points. Okay, we got to take it on our shoulders to do it now. Okay.
Brady out of the eye. Gives to Gillespie. Runs it up the middle. Upended. But he spills into the end zone. Third touchdown in his Patriots debut.
That's the way you counter.
Hell yeah. Nice job.
A whole fourth quarter to go. That's a great offense over there. And that defense is pretty damn good, too. It's going to be a dogfight here now for four quarters, though.
Smith rears back, throws down the right side. He's got Hunt behind the defense with a touchdown, his second of the night for Kansas City. Fourth and inches coming up.
They're digging in.
Mike Gillespie, for the second time tonight, is stopped at fourth and inches.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Big hole, past the 10 to the 5, into the end zone. Kansas City 42, Patriots 27 in this season open.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down here in week two with the coach. And, Coach, all three phases, talking about offense, defense, special teams. There's an influx of new players, and you've had some guys come in that haven't been in the program, in the organization for a while. How hard is that early in the year to where maybe it's not the type of communication that you're going to see week 10, week 12 down the road when you know what type of football team you have?
All right. Well, it's all part of it. You do the best you can. You put players in a position that you think they're ready for, and as the season goes on, maybe that increases in some cases. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. We'll talk to you about Sean Payton. A lot of history between you two. We don't have to get into two of the most tenured coaches within this league. A lot of respect for Sean. What makes him successful as a coach, as a play caller?
Well, as a play caller, offensively, I think he does a great job in mixing his personnel and giving the defense different looks, but continuing to do things that are fundamentally the same for them. So they have a lot of carryover internally, but it looks a lot different to the defense. I have a ton of respect for Sean. I think he does a great job.
Heard you talk earlier in the week, one of your press conferences, you know, multiple sets. He'll throw 20, 25 sets at you within the course of one game. That makes it difficult, right?
Yes. The combination of different personnel groupings, different players within those groupings, to then run plays that they know how to run that are consistent plays for them, but with guys that make it look different, it makes it hard. And the defense is just a half a step behind and reacting to some of those, and then that's where they get you. So.
There's a lot of guys in the league, you know, veterans that tend to change teams, and maybe people don't think they have a lot left in the tank. And I remember being with you out in Minnesota talking about Adrian Peterson. You got a lot of respect for this guy, right? Future Hall of Famer as far as work ethic, and you also took a peek at him this offseason.
Yeah, Adrian works hard. He's tough. He's a very good athlete. He has very good speed and a lot of size and power. Good run vision, good patience. When he hits a hole, though, he can really accelerate through it with a lot of power. And I have a ton of respect for Adrian, and I think he's – it looks like he's on track to have a great year.
All right, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from at Boston Tea Party 32. I don't think it's Devin McCourty. He's at McCourty Twins on Twitter. Once they ask you, Coach, with some unfamiliarity with teams early in the year, like the Saints, NFC team, at what point in the offseason, maybe it's camp, maybe it's the offseason, where you actually start to take a look at the Saints and start to prepare for them being a week two opponent?
Well, we can look at all of our new opponents early in the offseason, but once the schedule comes out, you can see which ones you play early and which ones you see late. And, you know, play a team later in the season, you got 10, 12 weeks on them. That's quite a good look at them. A team like New Orleans, where it's the second week of the season, then that's a little different story. You need to definitely do your background work on them from their 2016 season on things that have stayed the same, the players that are the same, and the schemes that are the same, which on offense and defense basically are in the kicking game. They've changed coordinators and changed schemes in that area.
All right. I know you've broken down a lot of film on this team. What are we going to take a look at in the Bellustrator?
Well, they've got some very explosive players, so I think those are the guys we're going to have to watch.
A pretty good running back, I heard, too. All right, everybody hang tight. More Patriots All Access right after this, and then we're going to get to the Bellustrator.
What to watch for when New England travels to the Big Easy to take on the Saints. How about plenty of points? Since 2010, these are the two highest scoring teams in the NFL. While Tom Brady may very well be the GOAT, Drew Brees is not too shabby. He's thrown for over 5,000 yards five times in his career. Brady's only done it once. Brees is the active leader in 12 of the 13 major quarterback categories. And finally, Bill Belichick and Sean Payton are two of the four longest tenured coaches in the league and are also two of just six coaches currently in the NFL to have won a Super Bowl.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Joining me now is Patriots center David Andrews. I should call you Captain David Andrews. My first question, what's it like being a captain of this team? We could take a lot of pride in that, right?
You know, it was a great honor. I appreciate my teammates. And, you know, it's just, to me, I just try to come in here every day and do my job and work hard and just be David. And, you know, I'm just excited to, you know, get to work with this group of guys and, you know, keep moving forward.
How do you bounce back from a game that you just had, a game that you guys were supposed to win, and you're 0-1. Now you got to face a team that's also 0-1. But how do you bounce back from that?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely didn't play where we needed to, where we should have been at, and we got a lot to work on. And you know, we were able to take a little rest, regroup, you know, get back out there today, get back at it. You know, but it's just going back to the basics. You know, we know what we did wrong. We know what we have to improve on. And, you know, it's just going moving forward from there.
Do you see the difference out there in practice
today?
Yeah, you know, I think there's just a better sense of urgency, higher sense of competition, and, you know, things like that. That's only going to help you moving forward.
What's it like protecting Tom Brady, who's now 40 years old?
And, you know, it's a great honor to be able to block for our quarterbacks, you know, Tom and Jimmy. You know, those guys, they work hard, you know, but when you just got a guy that's such a competitor like he is, you know, it, you can feed off that. And, you know Sunday he's going to be ready to go.
Brady called out the whole team's attitude and competitiveness. And I got to bring up the fourth and ones. Is that a heart thing when you get down to that? When it comes to fourth and one, you got to make that. And I'm going to harp on that for a second. And then I'm going to harp on the amount of time you gave Brady to throw the ball, because there were times where Brady had 10 seconds to throw the football.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, on fourth and one, when they call that run play, it's on your back. And, you know, there's two of those, a couple short yardages that we just didn't convert. And, you know, it's frustrating, too, because how well we ran the ball on the goal line.
Right.
You know, in a similar situation. So, you know, that's just something, you know, hats off to them. They had a great game plan, and they won those situations. And that's just something, those situations, red zones, things like that, that's just something we have to be better at converting those and, you know, keeping drives alive or putting points on the board.
Now, there was also times where you gave Brady like 10 seconds, it seemed like, to throw the football, making the pass blocking.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there was, like any game, there's good things, there's bad things. It wasn't all bad, you know, and, you know, but the times where we needed to be good, we weren't, you know, on those fourth and one, short yardage, red zone, maybe things like that. So, you know, and especially toward the end of the game in pass pro. So that was a big thing, you know, that we just have to improve on and be better.
Here's what people may not know, that your uncle. Tell people who your uncle is.
Dan Reeves.
You ever talk to Dan Reeves?
I do. You know, I still have another uncle still coaching in the league for Jacksonville. So, you know, it's been a busy time through camp and everything, but we've texted back and forth. But, yeah, you know, it was a real cool experience growing up with him. Got to do a lot of cool things and see a lot of football.
Good luck this week, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. David Andrews, our guest. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
Coming up, we'll preview an explosive Saints team on the Bellastrainer.
Just gets to the edge, quick cut up field, sees a gap there, splits it, and goes 50 yards for a touchdown.
Throws a deep ball, looking for Cooks, runs past the coverage.
And speaking of explosive, coming up, we'll meet receiver Brandon Cooks.
And in fact, sometimes you just wish you could rewind time to go back to some of those moments, because it was that fun.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, official shave of the New England Patriots. By the Massachusetts State Lottery. Visit a lottery retailer today for the new 5x champions ticket. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
He's the most high-profile newcomer to the Patriots offense this season. We headed out to Portland, Oregon to meet number 14, Brandon Cooks, with a little help from his friends.
The stomach got hurt.
Family is, but, you know, second to God, everything.
I think we have a group of friends that are just absolutely hungry to be successful at life, no matter where we all came from.
Being in Stockton, well, he grew up on the north side. I was on the south side, so, like, my school was all, like, it was African-Americans and Mexicans and stuff like that, and they're all, like, in gangs and stuff like that, so we've seen the successful side, we've seen the side we were on, and we
come from tough neighborhoods, and I think one of our main things is we don't want to come off as if it's coming from, like, you know, us complaining.
Him being my best friend, literally my brother, like, when he made it, I cried, because so much work and dedication went into him grinding his whole life, and seeing it pay off, it's the best feeling.
To be honest, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't change it for the world. And in fact, sometimes you just wish you could rewind time to go back to some of those moments, because it was that fun.
When my dad passed, my three older brothers was out the house pretty early. From seventh grade and on, it was really me and my mom in the house, and that's all it was. And our relationship is really like best friends. And, you know, best friends argue, best friends fight, you know, best friends love each other, best friends support each other. But at the end of the day, I knew she had my back and would die for me, and I would do the same for her. I think the way my mom sees it, she sees me as her archer, her protector.
Everybody watch SpongeBob. You got to watch SpongeBob. Bro. If you don't watch SpongeBob, something wrong with
you. You look around in the house. You know, you got the arch, the arrows all throughout the wall, everywhere. You know, where it kind of, you know, came from was first, you know, I was really watching a TV show, The Green Arrow, and, you know, The Hunger Games, and I was so fascinated on what you can do with a bow and arrow and the way that they used it. I came across a verse that I just fell in love with, Psalm 144:6. It says, send forth lightning, scatter the enemy, shoot your arrows and rout them. And I thought that was just the perfect verse for what I do in life. It gets me in that zone, you know, when it's time to go play a game. It kind of naturally stuck just because the guys in the locker room, you know, see me walking around the locker and just, you know, shooting an imaginary bow and arrow or on the field, and they're like, yo, you got to stick with that. And, you know, they're like, that, yeah, that's hot right there. So I think it found me. Football to me means a way to escape from reality.
I look forward to the second game the most, though.
Go back to Mexico and they play in Mexico. Man,
we later?
Yeah. We can't think that far. We got to go one game at a time.
The team, to me, is putting everyone else before yourself. As we all know, in this game of football, you can't win a game by just one player. You need everyone on the same page as a team in order to accomplish great things. I mean, coming to New England so far, it's been a dream come true. It's been special, not only from being taken in like a family already with the teammates and the coach and staff and the organization, but the fans are amazing. And to be able to be a part of this opportunity and to be a part of this team, you know, it's a blessing, and I couldn't be more thankful.
For Kenbrell Tompkins, leaping,
he's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
New horse, show ponies! Where's the beef?
Time now for the Opponent Spotlight, brought to you by GEICO.
Getting back on track this week for the Patriots, it's not going to be an easy task. I'm Megan O'Brien, and it's time now for our Opponent Spotlight, brought to you by GEICO. The Patriots and the Saints, both teams in similar situations, coming off of disappointing Week 1 performances and looking to avoid the dreaded 0-2 start. Now, yes, we know the Saints have had short time to prepare for this game, but the Patriots will have to face a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, and it's his home opener. This won't be an easy rebound.
We want to get back on track. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we can correct from this game. We have to do that very quickly because you've got to turn right back around and get ready for the Pats. You know, they've already had two practices on us. But bottom line is we just won our first win for this team for this year and then build the confidence from there.
Well, that's it from the Saints' perspective. Let's learn some more about the X's and O's. We'll send it over to Scott Zolak. Here is the Bellustrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Bellustrator. And, Coach, get into the New Orleans Saints here. But first of all, I mean, a lot of detail on the Bellustrator this year. This is something new little wrinkle, right?
Well, always looking to get better and make it a little bit easier for the fans.
We can read this stuff. It's not, you know, we don't get the chicken scratch. This is great stuff here. All right, we're starting with special teams.
Well, you know, the Saints have a lot of great players, and one guy that probably doesn't get enough attention is the punter Morstead. He's the third leading punter all time. This guy can really change field position. Of course, they don't have to punt a lot. They're so good offensively, but this guy is outstanding. He gets the ball off quickly. Got great hang time, distance, you can see here, 67 yards. And normally when you're punting from your 3-yard line, you'd feel like if you get a 40-yard net punt and the ball, you know, was on the 43-yard line, you know, you would take that. That would be good field position. This guy has the ability to change field position like that and, you know, add another 25 yards to the play. So, just, you know, tremendous, tremendous leg. And again, plus 50, we always talk about plus 50 punts. Being inside the 50, but with Morstead, plus 50 is back on the minus 40, 45-yard line where he can is just as effective at placing the ball either out of bounds or putting that backspin on it so that the ball ends up, you know, dying here like it does on this one, you know, inside the 1-yard line. So
remember there's a Belisheter we did, sorry, that gets the Rams, right, with Hecker? It seems like we did like 5 kicking plays. So this guy's as good as him, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, he just signed, yeah?
Yes.
All right.
So that's... Yep, well, this guy's as good as anybody in the league. Great directional punter and situational punter. So, you know, Kamara is the rookie from Tennessee, and, you know, he kind of has taken the Sproles-Bush role for New Orleans in their offense. Very explosive player. They get the ball to him and on running plays, and especially outside runs like this. He has good hands in a passing game. He also returns kicks. And so this is, again, kind of a Sproles-looking play right here. Just gets to the edge, quick cut up field, sees a gap there, splits it, and goes 50 yards for a touchdown. So, very explosive, dynamic player that we're going to have to do a good job on besides Ingram and obviously Peterson.
They've done a really good job over the years, going back to even Deuce McAllister. It seems like they just reset and continue to just circulate great, great running backs through there.
Yeah, and lead the league in offense every year.
Okay, this is a kid from Ohio State, right?
Yeah, Thomas, second year in the league, had 92 catches last year, big, strong receiver. Again, you know, Thomas coming in here on slant routes and under routes and things like that, he's extremely dangerous. But then it's after the catch where he's so strong. You can see him run through a couple arm tackles here, break the tackle by the free safety, and, you know, it takes a 4-yard slant route and turns it into a 50-yard gain.
Oh, big play right there. So that's something you do want to eliminate, you know, coming off last week.
Well, we're going to have to do a good job of tackling on these skill players. That'll be a big challenge for us.
Okay, defense.
Well, defensively, you know, the key guys, Klein in the middle, the kid they signed from Carolina, is a very disruptive player, instinctive, and plays very, very well. Here he, you know, sees the run, see how quickly he diagnoses it, gets downhill into the backfield. Jordan has done a great job for him. You know, he hardly ever comes off the field, which is unusual for a defensive lineman. You know, he plays a lot. He plays very, very productively and, you know, makes a lot of big plays in both the running game and the passing game. And Vaccaro, the safety who plays down by the line of scrimmage as well. So those are three guys that we're really going to have to do a good job of. Here's the same play from the end zone. Let's start with Klein. You know, again, Klein gets a good read on this play. And you can see how quickly he's already starting to kind of get a little bit of a sense for it. Cheats his alignment a little bit and then comes downhill and it's right there in the gap before the guard can get him on the backside. Here's
Jordan, right?
Jordan on the backside, you know, tossing the tight end down, making the play. And, you know, Vaccaro, 32, is never far from the ball. He's always around it. So defensively, some very disruptive players and a very disruptive scheme with a lot of blitzing.
All right, Coach, good luck bouncing back against the Saints this week. Go get them.
Appreciate it, so thank you.
All right, there you go. There's your Belisheter. More Patriots All Access back right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, you, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing excellence through the power of teamwork.
Earlier this week, Patriots players were lending a helping hand, assisting with building renovations and a playground build. Bridge Over Troubled Waters is a nonprofit organization that provides life-changing services for high-risk youth age 14 to 24. Players were more than happy to help out.
community gave so much to me, you know, when I was growing up. And so to be able to use our platform as Patriot players and give back to kids who are in need or, you know, the community where certain areas, you know, may need a resurgence, you know, is definitely something I feel strong in to be a part of.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Back now with our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo in our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Julian Edelman, that's where I want to start first, because obviously he's done. But did you realize that he was going to have that much of an impact being gone?
Yeah, I mean, I do think he's a really important guy. And we talked about it, you know, when it happened. There's a lot of toughness and intangibles that he provides that they're missing. But I also think offensively, they have a lot of pieces that are still healthy and still in place. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Danny Amendola. But I thought you saw him show the ability to be like Edelman in the slot. Maybe not the same, not as dynamic with the ball in his hands after the catch, but six catches for 100 yards in the opener and a lot of other weapons, they'll be okay offensively.
Yeah, I'll never understate Edelman's value to the team, but no. I'm with Paul. I still think they have a lot of weapons on offense. My thought would be, let's keep it simple. Gain a yard on fourth and one. You know, they had it twice in that game, and they couldn't get 1 yard. And that comes down to simply aligning properly at the line of scrimmage. You see the right side of the line a little bit further off the line than it should be. Get up on the line of scrimmage. When you're fighting for 1 yard, every inch counts. So gain a yard, Steve, and maybe we're not even having this discussion because maybe you're winning that
game.
You're
up in the mid-30s at minimum with points, and people aren't saying what's wrong with the offense.
All right, so you're saying pretty much the offense isn't an issue. Well, the defense?
It wasn't great.
I understand that, but the bigger issue is on defense.
Yeah, and that's where I'm just not sure you have as many answers. I mean, I can look at Brandon Cooks and Chris Hogan and Rob Gronkowski, and I know offensively they're probably going to get it in gear. I don't know where you turn defensively. And I was joking about this, you know, before the season started. You know, we're all, and I was guilty of the, you know, the 19-0 stuff and the enthusiasm and excitement about the season. But if just watching the summer, watch the whole summer, training camp, preseason games, and then you're watching cuts, and instead of just making, you know, conventional cuts, you're bringing in 3-4 guys from other organizations last minute. They didn't have a great summer. They didn't look great. And I'm not sure defensively they have the pieces to just plug in. It's going to take some time. I know they'll get better. Bill and Matt Patricia always figure it out. They always get better as the season goes on. But I don't think that's as easy a fix as offense is.
Big plays. I mean, to me, that start there. So on offense, we say gain a yard.
Right.
And on defense, stop giving up big plays and then try to go from there. I mean, that's the biggest concern. When is a Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia defense ever given up big plays like that on a consistent basis? I remember 2012, they had some issues, they moved McCourty back to safety at that time to try to rectify that situation. I think the secondary should have the personnel. I mean, what did we talk about all offseason? Gilmore and Butler, and, you know, could be the best 1-2 combination. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't just forget about that, but maybe the front seven is where there's some uncertainty.
Right. All right, so do you make a phone call? Pick up the phone, make a phone call, and bring back Rob Ninkovich. Do you make a phone call?
Well,
and bring back Vince Wilfork.
I don't know about Vince. I think that they have some depth on the inside. I think Vincent Valentine will probably factor into that depth. But I'd like to see Lawrence Guy a little bit more and see what he can do up front, maybe get a little bit bigger up front. I do think there's some changes. Ninkovich, I would love to see Ninkovich come back. I still think he could contribute.
Both those guys, great players, great locker room guys, Steve, but I think that you got to stop thinking about the outside fixes and look inside and say, we've had a lot of change on the roster here, mm-hmm. and we're trying to work with the guys that we have and try to get them better. And then you can assess 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, and maybe you make some in-season trades like we saw a couple years ago when they brought in some contributors.
All right, moving forward, do they bounce back? Can they bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously was as wrong as you can be about the opener, but I still think this is a really good football team. And I watched the rest of the league, and I still don't think there are a lot of really good football teams around the league. I think Kansas City impressed me. So maybe that's a team that I didn't have in that mix. I do not have New Orleans in that mix. I think this is a good spot for the Patriots. They're going to be focused going down to New Orleans. I think they got a nice wake-up call.
To me, this game is simple. We're just going to find out what's in the heart for the Patriots after that fourth quarter. And so the question is, to me, do you believe this coaching staff and these players have heart? And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because what we've seen for the most part over the last 18 years under Bill Belichick has been excellent, right? Mm-hmm. So let's not lose sight of that.
I don't want to let this get lost. What did you say the score was?
I'm going to go 38-27 Patriots.
I'm 35-27, so we're close.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you
very much, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Great job as usual. But that'll do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. From Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. We'll see if they're right. Have a great week, everybody.